Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sunday morning, 3/28/21. Gosh, already. Gosh, first quarter of the year and already gone. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to continue on with our study, learning to flow in the supernatural this morning. And the title of this particular segment is Hear His Command, Wait for the Plan. Good strategy. Many years ago at a church, Mike Murdoch was there, if you've ever heard of him. I won't name the church we were at, but anyway, he was there as a special speaker, and I remember him speaking that. And I remember thinking, that hung in me, and I have never forgotten it. God has a command, absolutely, and we are to hear His command, but we can get into trouble when we don't wait for the plan, the details of the plan. If He's got a command, something He's telling you to do, then He has got something or a strategy, some kind of plan to execute His command. That's what walking or flowing in the Holy Spirit's all about. It's about hearing His voice and then getting the instructions to follow it. Okay. Many just think they hear from God and then they just start trying to figure out just how they're going to do it, and they end up being totally in the flesh and God does not grace it. I think that's how a lot shipwreck. They think, well, I know the Lord told me to come out here. I know the Lord said this and He said that, but did they wait to get His plan to get here? Or to establish what work He had for them here? Or did they just start beating the bushes and putting out their brochures and all kinds of stuff like a lot of preachers do? He's in the details, you know that. We have all done this so we can identify with this and not point a finger at anybody else. Not only does God give the command, but He also has a detailed plan how to carry out that command. We would save ourselves a lot of grief, pain, and suffering if we would learn this. It's very simple, but yet very profound. One is just as equally important as the other. All right, Galatians 4:27 says, Rejoice, thou barren, for it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Desolate here means lonesome and waste. Well, I knew God said do that, but there's just no grace on it. So He's saying there's a lot of children of those who hear the command and just bail out and do something, as opposed to those that hear the command and then wait on the Lord and hear directly, specifically, in detail. If you think God is not in details, go read the Genesis account. Go read the tabernacle. This exact cubit by this cubit, it's mind-boggling how detailed God is. He cares about details. Most people hear the command, it's the details that trap them up. All right. What are lonesome plans? A plan without God in it, and it ends up a waste. All right, Moses. Let's look at old Moses. Moses, I'm thinking, I want to watch that next Sunday. Sunday's Easter. Or let's just say Passover, okay? Moses, Acts chapter 7. Let's just start with verse 20 here. In which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. There was something the Lord gave me this morning. I was listening to the broadcast. Just a few notes. It kind of goes with this. Abortion is a sign of the times. It was going on in Genesis 6 before the flood, we know that. And then in Exodus 1, when Moses delivered the children out of Israel, it shows up again in the Gospels when Jesus, the Herod was going to try to have him killed, have all the baby boys killed under 2 years old, because of what's going to happen, a reset. If anything else, that we would know that we're in the time of our great reset, not their reset, not the mark of the beast reset, but God's deliverance, it's now. Because it seems abortion always shows up, doesn't it? Even Jehu, Jezebel, Elijah, they were eating their children. But they were eating them because there was no food. Well, as Kim Clement said in one of his later prophecies, no longer will your children be your food. Okay, so, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them out, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses fled at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. What happened? He had it in his heart that he was to deliver the children of Israel, but it wasn't by his mighty hand. You okay? Focus on what I'm saying to you. Okay. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord at a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. You know, before we plunge on, we need to stand on some holy ground, don't we? Get some instructions. I've seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I've heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them. And now come I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. So there was a timing to all of it, right? God had a time that he wanted it executed. A lot of times it's really easy to think when God says do something, we just bail out right then and start doing stuff and then wonder why it didn't work out the way we thought it should, because maybe we just didn't get the timing right and, like I said, the details right. Psalms 31:15 says, my times are in your hand, in thy hand. God's timing. I know about that. I know a lot about that. Humans are impetuous and impulsive. They want things now so they can move out whole hog when half ready. That was what one of Brother Charles Capps saying. Talking about faith. About people step out in their faith to do something. Like he gives an illustration. He said, they found out somebody gave their car away, and then the Lord blessed him with a nice car, and then he come back later, and you're thinking, wow, you know, I'll give my old bomb away. And he said, if you do that, you're probably going to end up walking. It's not about, well, he did it, and I'll do what he did, and so that'll work. No, God instructed them to do that. Yeah, it's a big difference. We must ask the Lord when he gives us a command, like how, when, and where. not question the Lord like Zechariah did. Well, I'm old, my wife's old, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And the angel said, well, you're not going to be able to speak till you finally believe that what I have said to you is true. But what did Mary say? Well, okay, you told me I'm going to get pregnant and bear a son. How am I going to do this without a husband? And the angel said to her, well, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive by the Holy Ghost. Then he gave her a sign that your cousin Elizabeth, who has been barren all these many years, is now in her third month or something like that. And so Mary went, as soon as the angel left, Mary ran, said, Dad, I got to go see Elizabeth. And then as soon as Elizabeth heard her voice, her greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and she began to prophesy over Mary and confirmed it, the whole thing. See, that's how God does things. It's a God moment. Okay. Could Mary have refused that command? Yeah. She could have. All right. I don't believe the Lord is requiring our labor, but our willingness to let Him implement the plan. All right, let's look over to Joshua. And you know, this is just everyday life. Do you know how God proves us? He'll give us something little to do. The little foxes spoil the vine. So in the little things, the Lord will prove you. It's like with the children of Israel with the manna. He said, I'm going to see if I can prove you or not. Will you hear my command or not? Will you get in line with my will or not? Can I trust you in this little thing? Because when you are learn to walk in the little things and trust God and hear His voice and not be impulsive and impetuous, then He can trust you with a bigger thing. All right, Joshua 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. You know what? It always amazes me in this story that how they kept their mouths and never said a word. But you know what? These kids that saw their parents, the ground open up and people fall in, you know, they saw, they learned. They learned God's ways. They learned His calms, if you will. And so when they were told, you do a certain thing, they knew you better do a certain thing. I remember Fred Price doing that at his church. He had people, had steps up to the podium. He asked people to come and bring and put their, I think, their Bibles on the right side at the step in front of them or something like that. They were all over the place. They couldn't even follow one tiny instruction. I'm thinking today, oh Lord, you talk about they were a mess. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and their reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. I saw a sign the other day. In fact, I think we were going to Texas Burger, and there was a SUV there, and it said something about autism. Child will run from you, not mind you, and do this. And I was thinking, when I saw that, I thought, yeah, I better paddle. Who needs drugs for autism? Let's get that paddle out. That's just what came to me. See, we don't whip our kids anymore. But it's biblical. Got a bunch of rowdy kids. We just blame it on autism. Just give them some meds to calm them down. No, whip that butt a few times, and they'll sit in that seat and they'll listen to everything you have to say. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." We have to be careful that we do not let Satan take our minds to a dark place, because he is the devourer and he is wanting to devour you today in your minds. And whatever symptom or whatever else you're dealing with today, it doesn't matter. Satan uses it to take you to a dark place. When you go to that dark place, you can't walk with the Lord. The Lord gave me something this week that helped me tremendously. It was one of Brother Hagin's. I think it's in the health food, faith food book. And Brother Hagin, he was healed of a heart condition back when he was like 17 years old. Come up off a deathbed, or 15 years old. And he was healed from that time forward, but he was talking about he was under such attack, the symptoms were so bad that he said, I thought I was not going to make it. That's what he said. He thought he was not going to make it. Well, the Lord gave him a dream. Him and this guy were in this dream, and there was these two lions that started running after them. And he said, they were coming so fast, he said, I knew that we could not overtake them. So he said, I just decided I was going to face it. So I turned around and I just stopped. Right, and the lion just stopped right there in front of me and just smelled my feet and then trotted off. See, this is Satan's, that's his way. Lord said to me, it's time you take the head off of that giant and quit running from him. Quit letting the devil take you down dark avenues. It will cut you off from the blessings of God. Resist the devil, therefore resist the devil. He will flee. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What's God's what? God's ways. God is God's ways. His ways of doing things. Until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed at the city once and returned into the camp. So they did this 6 days. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the Lord, people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So what did they do? They followed God's detail. I mean, strictly. Right down the line. Okay. See how it works? What would have happened if some of those youngsters would have been impetuous? Shouted before they were supposed to shout or did something they shouldn't have done? Acting without thinking, we get used to doing that. Here's the scripture, a good scripture. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because whenever we do it in God's timing, there's a grace on it. That's Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. See, when we step up impulsively, that's thinking more highly of ourselves. But to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. I don't think it's wrong to ask the Lord about things. If you're asking in an earnest heart, not like Zechariah, well, there's a difference. There was an evident difference between what Zechariah asked and what Mary asked. All right, we'll look at a few scriptures in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 23. Start with verse 5. Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here and in Judah. How much more if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great laughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. I just thought of a scripture. Maybe you know exactly what it says, Danny, about he'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, when you learn to follow God this way, he will drop certain desires in your heart. He'll start forming a plan in you. Things will just start forming in you to execute a certain thing. That's the way he does things. All right. 1 Samuel 30. They'll always have to eat. Lord, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? All right, 1 Samuel 30. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire, had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, David could have really given in to the pressure. You know, people can pressure you and you just give in to them. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord at the same. Okay, at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So we know what happened. He went and recovered got everything back. That's what David did. That was classic David. Okay, let's go to 2 Samuel 5, 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into thine hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, The Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So it never hurts to ask the Lord for confirmation. Best to keep it to yourself, so when it's confirmed, you know it is of the Lord, because you haven't told anyone else. I always like it better when someone's told me nothing about a situation and the Lord gives me something. If I know stuff about everything, it's a little bit hard to discern between soul and spirit there, you know. Is your emotions getting involved in this? Yeah, it never hurts. Okay, Matthew 6:6. It says, But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I remember a couple of cars back that someone that we gave a car to, what he said was, he said it was just so exact. He said, My wife and I had prayed in secret. We hadn't told anybody. And the Lord heard and answered that prayer. I'm thinking that's the way it's supposed to be. Okay. All right, we see this in the life of ministry of Jesus. This is John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Sounds like the Father instigated it, doesn't it? You know what? If we quit looking at so many things we want or we need or whatever and start honing in on what the Lord wants, you know, seeking first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. I think we get the cart before the horse. All right, John 12:49-50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. In John chapter 11, we see the story of Lazarus, and we know that Jesus, he loved Lazarus. He was one of his best friends, and he was friends with his sisters, Mary and Martha. We're going to read a little bit of this because I want you to see. This is John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, Verse 1, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, for the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Why didn't he run to him? Couldn't he have prayed for him and he'd be raised up? Why? Father had a plan. If Jesus had stepped out independently at that time, Lazarus wouldn't have been raised. I feel like probably he would have gone ahead and died. But God, the Lord wanted to highlight Jesus too. That's why even in the little things, we need to flow with the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord lead us in what we do. We're going to see greater glory in our lives if we do. I'm very, very convinced that that's why we don't see much glory in our lives. It's because we just do stuff. And God's not going to put His anointing or grace what we do. He will what He asks us to do. He heard the command and waited for the plan. If you don't hear anything, then I guess it makes perfect sense that you don't do anything. Sometimes they're like little kids in the grocery store. You ever see them? Pretty well every time you go in there, you see it. They're asking for everything. It's asking all the time. Asking. Can I have this? Can I have that? Can I do this? Can I do that? No, no, no. It's enough. You just go, ugh. That's why I don't go to the grocery store much. Okay, let's go. Galatians 1. More scriptures. I was thanking the Lord today. Lord, I'm so glad that you pulled me out of organized religion to learn your ways. I feel so honored and privileged because I said so many, even those that have been in the ministry for years and years and years and years and years, you can't seem to learn it in the midst of that. God has to pull you aside. That's why He pulled Paul aside. He didn't want another Pharisee. Or he was a Pharisee. He had to pull the Pharisee out of Paul. All right, Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You could say that traditions of the fathers were the doctrines of men. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were prophets before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now these things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was known by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. They saw the change. God did the change. Think about Joseph. He had a lot of silent years. I know a lot about those silent years. Sounds like Moses did too, and Paul. You think about people that really did substantial things in the Bible. They had those silent years where God pulled them aside to train them for the mission ahead. Okay, let's go back to Luke. Like I said, I got a lot of scriptures. Even Jesus had to learn to submit to the Father in these areas. It says, verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. See, Zimri's 12. And I'm telling you, he's all over the place as a little boy. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the sayings which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He's only 18 years early. He had it in his heart. Evidently, he had a lot of the wisdom already. You know, when I started back in 1994 teaching, basically, I've taught the same thing. Of course, the Lord's expanded on it, but I was teaching the same message. I've learned a whole lot since then, but, you know, it was already in my heart. But what had to happen? Maturity has to come. All right. I was going to tell my experience. I've told it before, but I'll tell it again. One time I went to the dentist and I got a cap put on my tooth. And from that time forward, for 2 years, I had pain every night. I had to wear a guard in my mouth, and I'd been to the dentist back and forth. He'd say, well, we could just do a root canal and put a crown on it, or it already had a cap on it, but, you know, we could do a lot. We could pull it, or, you know, I have to send you to a specialist to do that, and blah, 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 blah. And nothing he ever said helped. It just, but I went through that agony for 2 years. One day I went in just for a cleaning. He busted in the door. He said, I know what's wrong. He said, it's one of those soft ones. It's the porcelain. And he said, being a jaw tooth, every time you bite down on it, it's going down on that nerve, and that's why you're having the pain. So he took that off, put a gold crown on it. And I thought many times, it's just like the Holy Ghost constrained me not to do anything. I just didn't have the leading to do anything. Well, see, that's how God teaches us. I could have lost my tooth or, you know, whatever. I don't know if I'd have just done what we thought. And I said, Lord, give that dentist wisdom, you know, or whatever. And sure enough, it took care of the problem. The Lord is the problem solver, and He knows what to do. He knows what to tell us what to do in situations. You think, look, most people are not willing to wait and get the answer. It's like, well, I get prayed for, and if I don't see it in 2 days, I'm going to the doctor. Isn't that usually the case? Yeah. All right, here's another experience. Last year, we tried to call somebody out to do some landscaping, and it just fell apart. Just didn't work out. And then Danny called somebody to do the wrought iron around the house, and that fell apart. The Lord said, it's out of order. So, I mean, He knows the way He wants to do it, and I'm thinking, well, it'd be nice if we knew the whole plan so we could, you know, tell what we need to do. But anyway, we're fixing to move ahead with the landscaping. It seems that we finally connected with what we need to do. What would happen if we did that with everything we did? We wouldn't be changing Ishmael's dirty diapers, I'll tell you that for sure. Okay. All right. Just a little bit more here, I think. Just a second. Yep. Okay, the other thing, the thing about this last landscaping deal, the Lord gave us the same amount that we're to spend. We both had the same amount come to us. So I take that as a confirmation. gave us the same amount. Okay. All right, God has led us for years concerning houses and cars. Have we missed it? Probably. But the most part, it's worked out very well with no regrets. The more we learn to live like this, we will not be having to deal with the stinky diapers of Ishmael, but we will have a good time with laughter, because Isaac's name is laughter, means laughter. God's way is the way of Isaac, laughter, joy. Let God confirm and orchestrate. All right, one more scripture here, Acts 16. Verse 6. It says, now when we had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. First attempt, second attempt. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assured the gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. What would have happened if he just went on? The Holy Spirit said, don't go there, but they went anyway. It would have messed everything up. God has a command, but we must wait for it. He has the details to carry out his command. Okay.